We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast for Tuesday, April 20th. Jeff Erickson, Fred Zinke here. Busy, busy day in baseball. Full slate. First game starts at 4:10 Eastern. Lots of injuries. You know, I do Wednesdays in SiriusXM. Stefania Bell joins us to be our injury expert, and I usually send her a list of players, and it was no problem finding players to add to that list, Fred. Unfortunately, it's starting right off the top in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, some of these players could still perform like first round picks for sure. But yeah, if you picked in the first round this year, how about this? If you picked in the first half of the first round this year, there's a good chance that you've already dealt with an absence from your first round pick, or you're about to.
Yeah, well, half of them. Yeah, Tatis, Betts, multiple times now. And now, Ronald Acuna not in the lineup today against the Yankees. A two-game series. I think we'll miss him. He'll miss both games. We'll see about Friday because they have a five-game week. So do you have Acuna anywhere? What did you do with him if you did?
Yeah, I don't. I had no first overall picks this year. I had a second overall pick in a league where Acuna went first. So I took DeGrom. That was it. That's the closest I came. I guess I could have got Acuna in Tout Wars because it's an auction. So, but I didn't. So, because I took Tatis and then I couldn't take Acuna, and I would have rather had Acuna. So, and I'd still rather have Acuna. You can also add in on those injured players, even though he was never injured. If you drafted Trey Turner in the first half of the first round, you played without him for the first weekend and possibly didn't have a replacement. And you might've played without him for at least the first half of the second of that first full week.
Reporting on him not being at the workout.
Yep.
So I have Trey Turner in both RotoWire Online Championship Leagues, the Beat Jeff Erickson Leagues.
Yeah.
I had him active in one and not the other because of that very thing that happened. Because in one of them, my replacement for him hadn't played yet, so I was able to swap him back in. The other, I was screwed.
Yes, I was going to say, of course, someone who hits a home run about every seven games hit two home runs in three games when he was on your bench.
Yeah, and you just... Those are things you don't make up very readily. So that's always
no. So yeah, the first half of the first round. Actually, if you drafted the pitchers, you're loving it right now. They've been like DeGrom, Cole, Bieber. You're totally satisfied. These hitters. Well, Acuna's been unbelievable. And even if he misses a few days, if he just goes back to being unbelievable, then you're great. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's right. So I have Acuna in TGFBI, and I took him over Tatis. Betts went first in my league.
Okay.
So I was smug Jeff got, you know, I was like, all right, I did take him over Tatis. Here we go. And, you know, even Soto, by the way, has had dealt with some issues, too.
Yeah.
That would have been another option.
Yeah, there's another Nat. Yeah, he missed at least for that partial week. Yeah.
So I sat him for the first 4 days. We'll see what happens starting on Friday. But my swap is also on the Braves, Guillermo Heredia. He of the, you know, mm-hmm. I was at, as I joked on Twitter, I was shopping at the recency bias bar after he had his monster Sunday night game.
Yeah.
But the point is, I already had a bid in on him because Inciardi and Pache are already on the IL.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone's got to play center field for him. I don't think they're going to call up Drew Waters. So that's the route I went. Adrianza, by the way, is in right field with and batting leadoff, by the way. So maybe he would have been the better option. But I got Heredia in like three leagues. So I'm swapping him in. But the problem is, you know, I picked up Heredia in a lot of leagues, even though they have five games this week and only two in the first half. Nonetheless, though, they have 10 games in a row after that, and I think he's going to play a lot for a while. So I'm not really that concerned, but nonetheless, it's there. I hope I get him back. I did get Alex Bregman back in that league quicker than I expected. I do get those Coors Field games after all, which is pretty nice.
Yes, that's a big bump. And I wasn't in on Heredia. Maybe I'll be interested by next week, and I'm sure he's still there in a lot of leagues. But I think if you had Acuna, then it made a lot of sense, because although Heredia would probably play anyways, he's probably even more certain to play with Acuna out. So if Acuna were to end up on the IL, you know, you'd probably be glad you have him. And when his playing time at least starts to become a little more in question, will probably be when Acuna comes back.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll see about that. It's a short-term rental. I understand that. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is some up-and-coming prospect. He's no Adolis Garcia, but who could be something, was something last night. We'll see. But, you know, unfortunately, you have to make these moves sometimes. You have to make those adjustments. So that's one big one. Mookie Betts, ninth inning last night. Gets hit on a pitch by Rafael Montero on the right forearm. When he's batting, it's his back one. He kind of pronated a little bit. So it looks like he missed the wrist, he missed most of the, it caught a meaty part of his arm, if that's possible there. X-rays were negative, but he's on the lineup for today's game against the Mariners.
Yeah, so I mean, just a day-to-day thing, I think, for now. I would say I am less worried about Mookie right now than Acuna. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'd agree.
Yeah.
But he and Ty France both left the game with similar Mookie actually didn't leave the game, but it was the second to last plate appearance of the game. Corey Seager grounded a double play right after that, so we never got a chance to see what would have happened. But they similar pitches, similar places. France actually stayed in the game to run and then came out to warm up for the next half inning and couldn't throw. And so they had to take him out. So we're not out of the woods here yet. I mean, the news is as good as it gets so far. Mookie's not playing today, and I think they are off tomorrow before the big four-game series against the Padres this weekend. So, of course, they got the Padres again. They're going to take every ounce of precaution.
Yes. I'm sure getting him ready for then, you know, it's the Dodgers and it's April. Like if Betts isn't ready for the start of the four game series, he won't play. But yeah, having him today was a no brainer. Like there was no way no matter how good he felt when he came to the ballpark, he wasn't going to play today. So not too worried about Betts, not too worried about Acuna, still quite worried about Tatis among all the people that we've discussed. Yeah, from the first half of the first round.
Now, Tatis hasn't run yet since coming back. I did worry a little bit about that just because, hey, he likes to slide head first. And you know, obviously that's a concern. He did blast a home run in his first game back, but he was 1-for-6 in that game. So far, he is at 1-for-16 since coming back. That was his only hit. Although he did have an RBI and a walk yesterday. But it hasn't been great so far. And honestly, yeah. Even before the injury, he hasn't been great.
Nope. Off to a slow start. He was off to a slow start. It wasn't very many games. And yeah, I would feel a lot better about Tatis if I saw a 3-for-4 or something coming up. So when you said he hasn't run yet, well, he hasn't run because he hasn't been able to get any hits. So
118. Yeah. I had no idea that it was. I mean, I guess 1-for-16 will create 118, but you know, especially when you've missed a week, you know, missed 10 days. So that's part of it there too.
Yeah. I'm actually working on an article right now for, in terms of, you know, how low would you go getting rid of Tatis right now? You know, like, I think it's a no brainer that you'd take someone drafted in the second round for him right now, just on the chance of re-injury of his shoulder. But depending on the league format, like, I'm just starting to work through the process of trying to figure out, you know, like, how low would you go selling off Tatis right now?
That's a good question.
Trying
to think myself what it would be. I only had, I'm trying to think, like, who goes? So, Bo Bichette. Would you take Bo Bichette straight up for him?
Yep. Would you?
Yeah, I think I would, too. I'm not in that position. And I only have Bichette on the other side of the coin. Like, the only place I have him is a non-trading league. I have him in one of my two main events. So I can't make that decision, but I think I would. I think I would do that. Now you got me, like...
I know. Would you trade? How about this? Would you trade him for Whit Merrifield?
That's tough. I mean, two positions. Merrifield's off to a great start. Is he running, though?
He is running, yeah. His batting average has come down a bit the last couple of days, but still, like, high 200s.
Yeah, five stolen bases, yeah.
But let's just say that you, like, yeah, let's just say that, like, you still value Merrifield the same way you valued Merrifield. Like, he hasn't done anything really to change his value.
Yeah, he shouldn't improved.
Yeah, he shouldn't over 2 weeks, really. Like, for a player his age, over a couple of weeks, we shouldn't really, and no injuries, we shouldn't really change. So it's almost more like a question, I guess, of if you were drafting today, at what point would you take Tatis? Would you take him in the third round? Would you take him in the fourth round? Like, where would you
take? I still think I'd take him in the second round. I might even take him at the end of the first still. I think it's just a matter of time. We'll see. I mean, there is the risk of re-injury. I don't know. Maybe. That's the thing is, I haven't been put to the test on that. Francisco Lindor or Tatis?
See, I'm worried about re-injury, so I'll take Lindor. I'll take Bichette. I'll take Whit Merrifield. I'm worried about the risk of re-injury.
Corey Seager, you'd definitely take.
Yeah.
Adalberto Mondesi, no, you would not take.
No, I couldn't do that.
Okay. I'm just looking at shortstops. Xander Bogaerts. There's another shortstop. Challenge trade. Who you taking?
Bogaerts.
Okay, that was a snap call. You didn't like Hammer Hall or anything.
I'm pretty worried about Tatis I'm pretty worried. I feel like if you, I don't know. Well, I guess it could. I was going to say, like, the swap from Tatis to Bogaerts won't cost you your league, but it could if you were going to narrowly win or lose your league. I'm pretty worried about the chances of him injuring his shoulder again. So I have him in NL tout. I thought about all these things, like, how low would I go on him? Mm-hmm. I haven't offered him out any trades yet. But I've definitely thought about it, about these guys. And I feel like maybe in NL tout, like, do I go lower than Manny Machado? That was an interesting one because he's on the same team. Do I go down to, like, Pete Alonso, someone like that? I don't know.
Because, Tim Anderson. I keep going for shortstops.
Yeah. I take Tim Anderson.
Okay.
Yeah. So in an NL, losing Tatis is an even bigger problem, right? If he does have a re-injury, because I can't really replace him. These are the things I'm trying to work my mind through for the article. In a 10-team league, some of these guys I said yes to, maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I just go with Tatis because I can get a pretty good guy on waivers if he's re-injured. So, but I'm more thinking, like, say, a standard, like, well, what's standard to me, like a 15-team league.
Yeah. We're getting all sorts of, a lot of big name injuries, though.
I know.
Next guy on my list was Starling Marte. Officially got placed on the IL today in advance of their interleague series against the Orioles. Excuse me. On that, I don't know. I mean, with him, it's a rib injury. It's not an oblique, and weirdly, I think that skews positively.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, like, I'm not panicked on this with Marte. He was off to a good start. Already had two homers, three steals, hitting .310. Had already scored 15 runs. So you got a good start, probably better than you were expecting at this point. Mm-hmm. You're probably without him. Well, I don't know. We'll see. At least 2 weeks, probably three would be my guess. Marte misses time most years. Like, last year, he did the weird thing where he actually played in 61 games in the 60-game season because of the midseason trade. But beyond that, like, if you go back and look at his game logs throughout his career, like, he's only been over 145 once. So he's typically someone who manages to find a way to miss 20 or 30 games a season. So here comes, you know, 15 to 20 of those 20 to 30 games.
But it maybe doesn't really work that way, though. It just means he's prorated for 25 more after he comes back.
Kind of, because he's not a day off type guy. Like, he's not like a late career Ryan Braun. What's that? Yeah.
I'm being a little silly, but they're.
Well, no, for some guys, that would be true, because there are some guys who are getting the day off every one or two a week, no matter what. So if they do miss time with an injury, when I go back and look through his injury log, like, just most years, there's something. There's just one. But most years, other than obviously the suspension, the one season in 2017, but most years, there's just something. So
Let me read you a sequence of numbers, and you can tell me what that those numbers are and what the importance is. Ready?
Go.
24, 17, 19, 16, 8, 16, and 9 in 61 games last year. What are those numbers?
I don't know. What are those numbers?
The number of times he's been hit by a pitch in a given season.
Ah, yes, because he is amazing at that.
A frequent flyer, a frequent plunker. He dives into pitches. This is part of his problem. You know, it was driving me nuts watching Wilson Contreras and the Cubs get all bent out of shape about him getting hit by pitches. Because you know what? That happens to Contreras every year. He dives in, he gets hit. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, same thing. It's a feature with the Cubs, as a matter of fact. Take me off. Remember when Andres Galarraga charged the mound one year after getting hit by a pitch?
Okay.
He clearly was diving in. And this is, I know I'm going in the way back machine, but you're old enough that I'm giving you credit.
Yeah.
You remember this. And it's just like, you can't have it both ways. You can't like command the inside of the plate and dive in and not expect to get hit every once in a while. Pitches get away. So, maybe sometimes you're getting plunked on purpose. More often than not, though, you're just trying to steal on base. That happens all the time. Look at Conforto. That was most egregious. That was like blatantly obvious. But, you know, other instances there too where this just – it's a thing that happens a lot. And I hate it when you see that there, especially – I get it. There's pitches with movement. They're throwing harder, and there's probably only 10. And in one of those cases, Contreras got beaned. He got hit in the head. So I guess he's a little extra sensitive about this now. But you look at his track record. I mean, he gets hit all the time. It's not because people hate him. It's because he's trying to command the inside of the plate.
Yeah, but with Marte, when I look back through his injury log in his career, they're almost all midsection injuries. So he does have one hand injury. He also has one concussion. Other than that, oblique, back, oblique. This is the rib, abdominal wall contusion. Now, maybe that was from being hit by a pitch. I'm not sure, from 2019. But they're all of his injuries, almost all of his injuries in his career are through the midsection. So, you know, he's obviously someone that in every league, like, you're hanging on to. He's not out for a super long time. And it's just more annoying because I'm sure everyone's counting on him to kind of guide them and be one of their either first or second best base stealer.
Yeah. And to be fair, Marte didn't get hit by a pitch on the day he got hurt. He's been hit three times, twice in one game back on April 5th. But last time he got hit was April 13th. So I'm not saying in this instance that's what he caused him to get hurt, but I just feel like he puts himself in harm's way a lot. Mm-hmm.
And this was and what I'm saying is this was part of the – when you projected Marte, assuming you did it intelligently, this was part of the equation. You know, like when I projected him, I projected him for like 540 at-bats, something like that. And a full season of Marte would be, you know, close to 600 at-bats.
Yeah. Never assume I project anything intelligently. That's your
own doing there. True. Maybe I'm giving you too much credit. I think from what I've seen drafting with you in many, many leagues, your projections are pretty intelligent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Kyle Lewis, do you have any of him anywhere?
I don't. He was on my bus list for this season. So, but I'm glad he's back. Good for him. Now they can go ahead and call up Jared Klenick, please. And thank you. And they'll have Kyle Lewis, and they've got Klenick, and they got Mitch Haniger, and they've got a good record, and they've got a good outfield all of a sudden. But Kyle Lewis was awful in September, like beyond awful. So I was kind of shying away from him.
Yeah.
How about you? Do you have any?
I have 0 of 17. And September was the reason why. The K's were just
Tremendous. 33 strikeouts in 89 plate appearances. So, you know, striking out just off my head quickly in about 36, 37% of your plate appearances and a 550 OPS in that stretch.
I want him to earn his bust. I don't want that to be a bust due to strikeouts or, I mean, due to an injury. But I also want, I want the Mariners to get on with it there and get back to, you know, the funny thing is they're 11-6, but I don't think anybody's arguing that, you know, this is their fully formed roster. Now, Taylor Trammell has moved to left field from center to left. Actually had a good night last night, but he's not playing great. Striking out a ton, actually. He's actually someone that had promise. It's just that it was the Jenga chain. It was one other guy in the outfield that didn't deserve to be starting. And I still think Kelnick should be in there right now. But I think we might have to wait maybe as late as like May 11th, May 20th, something like that. And that's because the minor league season hasn't started, won't start until May 4th.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when they bring Kelenic up because he's ready. And like, it was obviously a service time thing. They didn't bring him up like right on the 16th, you know, the first day they could. But I think it would be easy for them to say, like, we'll see where Trammell goes in the next day or two. You're right. He did have a better game last night, but overall he's striking out way too much. So, you know, if Trammell had a couple 0-for-4s, a couple more 0-for-4s, maybe they could say, well, we're doing well and Trammell's not off to a good start. So let's just swap him and Kelenic and give Kelenic a chance to show us what he can do. And maybe they'd save a little face that way. So I'm hoping it happens in April. Just, I don't think the Mariners actually are contenders, but when a team gets off to a better than expected start and you have maybe the best hitting prospect in baseball, who's like, as far as major league readiness, you know, like waiting to go, you might as well go for it and see if maybe you can be a surprise team this year.
Yeah. Maybe so. Julio Rodriguez is just hanging there like, hey, don't forget about me either. I was killing it in spring training. When they're ready, they're ready. So we'll see. It could be
Kelenic now, and then like maybe Rodriguez won't get the call this year, but maybe they say Kelenic now, and maybe they go past that June deadline date and say, hey, if by the All-Star break or somewhere around there, if Rodriguez is still killing it and we're still in the race, then maybe he gets his shot.
Yep, that's right. A couple other injury notes, and we could just do an injury cast, but we won't.
Yes.
Because we have other things that cause us anxiety, and we have to work that out here on the podcast. That's what the whole point of this is for us to work this out, and hopefully you pick up some gems along the way.
Yeah, thank you for attending our group therapy session.
Exactly. Austin Hayes is off the IL, but he's not in the starting lineup today. The Orioles are in Miami, so thus, no DH, thus, Hayes has to sit this first one. I'm a little surprised that maybe he doesn't get a chance, but this is kind of the thing. Like, are you going to sit Santander? Are you going to sit Mullins, who happens to be still pretty hot? DJ Stewart is playing in the outfield. I guess that's kind of the option, I suppose. And no Mountcastle in the lineup either. So that's it's weird. You know, a team like the Orioles, like, how can, you know, did they actually have too many at-bats? It's kind of like the Tigers. We kind of, maybe it's just to scale, but nonetheless, they're squeezed on terms of fitting everybody in the lineup.
Yeah, once they get back to an AL park, though, I think then they'll be fine, you know, to either to fit everyone in or give everybody 1 to 2 days off a week. Now, Mountcastle's not hitting well at all, so this will maybe put some pressure on him. You know, if he's not hitting, he might be the one who gets squeezed. But I think Hayes, you know, where he's still, I've heard you and Scott talk about outfielders and how outfielders are tough to find on waivers right now. I don't know how many 15s. Hayes is sitting out there in, but if he is, I think he's worth picking up. And in the 12s, I think maybe, like, if you have room for him, at least on your bench, like, I don't think that I don't have these massive expectations of Hayes, but it's a good park to hit in. He's 25, going to be 26 this summer. This is kind of like, I feel like the end of the road for him. Like he has to come through with something this season. So sure. Now that he's back healthy, I think he's going to get every opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But yeah, I think that is interesting. I do have Hayes and Tout, AL Tout. However, I'd have to, like, you know, if he's not in the lineup today, I don't think I'm going to do my midweek activation. Although, I mean, I have a bench. It's like Jake Cave I can put down really easily. I've been really hurting in the outfield. When you do Stars and Scrubs and you do Kelnick, you know, you're just kind of trying to get by. So we'll see. The sooner the better as far as those guys go. So that was an interesting one there. But, yeah, I think Hayes is kind of interesting still. And I think you're right. Once they get back to an AL park, he'll be fine. Do you have any Christian Yelich?
No, I wasn't too high on Christian Yelich going into draft season. I also was trying to avoid taking outfielders in the first round. So we talked about outfield not being deep. And I agree with that as far as like a waiver wire or a like last five rounds of the draft sense. But I did feel like there was a lot of outfielders I liked, say, from rounds like 5 to 15. So I was trying to avoid maybe getting outfielders at that point in the draft. So I have no Yelich. How about you?
I have him only in a NL only keeper league.
Okay.
But it's not like I have him at a bargain either. I have he's fully priced there because I rostered him last year. And obviously he was at the height of his powers then. So, but I decided to hold on instead of, I probably could have tossed him back at and tried to get him again at market rate. And at least I'd be in the first year of his contract, but tactical errors for the win, Jeff. All right. So yeah, that's the only place. Cause I was moving him up on my draft board late in draft season, but by that point it was kind of too late. I was either, I drafted 14 and 6 and he fell right in between those.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I will say with Yelich that before he suffered his injury, I was going to write him up on one of my first kind of trading sell high type articles because his start's a bit of a mirage. Like it looks like he's back or at least kind of back, like he's hitting 333. But when you look a little deeper, like the elevated strikeout rate is still there. You know, he just has a really high BABIP. He hasn't hit for power yet. I'm still quite concerned about him. And then obviously the injury kind of takes over the storyline with him right now with the back. But I'm beyond the back. I'm still worried because I wanted to see that strikeout rate down. And in the sample size is really small, but coming off such a disappointing year, I was looking for something positive right out of the gate and I don't see it at all. So before the injury, I was going to tell people maybe in some of the really active trading leagues who had drafted Yelich that maybe you want to just like market him as a, oh, he's back first round stud right away and see what you can get for him because I'm not sure that he is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you might be right about that. News out of Minnesota. Kyle Garlick, Max Kepler, and Caleb Thielbar have been placed on the COVID IL. So those are the people that were, I don't know if they've tested positive or not yet. Because we know how nebulous the COVID IL is, but those guys will not be playing in Tuesday's doubleheader against the A's.
Is Alex Kirilov up for Tuesday's doubleheader against the A's? That's what I'm now interested in because you just named two outfielders. So this could be another way for Kirilov to kind of get his foot in the door.
It could be.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lineup yet.
Yeah, we keep on asking, when's Kirilov going to get the call again? The funny thing is that starts relatively early, the first of the two games, 6:30 Eastern time. But you knew this, they'd take this down to the wire. That it would be pretty close because you know they're dealing with all this, and of course they're dealing with player confidentiality. They're dealing with a whole lot of other things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe Garlick is the one who I think we know definitely tested positive, and then the other ones probably are because I think we heard they had a few cases, but they could be close contacts. But I think. I think we heard they had a few cases, so they probably are a part of the group that tested positive.
Yeah, that's right. In response, the Twins have activated, I just saw this from Dan Hayes, activated Brent Rooker off the IL, recalled Travis Blankenhorn, and selected the contract of relief pitcher Luke Farrell. So, okay. No Kirilov. Kirilov is only up for the that doubleheader as the extra man.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I was hoping that maybe.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We'll see what happens through the rest of the series, but I was hoping that maybe he would get to stay up beyond that extra man designation today. So we'll see. I think Kirilov's day is coming soon. He didn't help himself, obviously, in spring training, but you know, I don't have him as high as Kelenic on my radar of guys who I think could really hit the ground running, but I know that Kirilov wasn't good in spring training, but he's still really talented. He can hit for some power. He knows how to steal a base. I think he could be a balanced contributor like pretty soon. They're still not, even beyond the COVID problems they're having right now, like they haven't got a lot out of caves. So I think that spot's still open for him.
Yeah, it's going to cave in pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning Instant Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Ba-dum-bum.
Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Big pause after a terrible pun.
Yeah.
definitely that. And for, yeah, after, yeah, the pause for these commercial messages. But all right, let's move on and move from injuries to talk about streamers. So last week, a lot of our streaming options actually worked out pretty well, at least for at least one half of it, and in some cases, both halves of it. Some of the guys, the starting pitchers we picked off the waiver wire worked out pretty well. It seems like it's easier to find guys this season, maybe because of the ball, maybe because it's early. I don't know. However, yesterday, it was very much a mixed bag. You could have done very well, or you could have gotten Joe Rost.
Yeah, that one's a tough one. I can't remember exactly how you put it with Scott on the podcast yesterday morning when I was listening to it, but you said something to the effect that, you know, Joe Ross pitches well and just long enough to get you to kind of buy in, and then he burns you. And that's exactly what he ended up doing. So that's a tough one. And we were saying before we started recording that one of the worst feelings is, you know, when you land someone in Fab on Sunday night. You know, you find out Sunday night or early Monday morning, and you're excited for that 2-start week, and then they burn you in the first start of the week.
Right.
You know, and Ross could come back and throw 6 innings of 1-run ball in the second start, and, you know, kind of, if he got a win, maybe kind of salvage the week that someone had him for. But it's a real clunker when he starts. Even like we can talk about this later if we want, but even like with Giolito yesterday, that one was really, really frustrating for people because it's like the start of the week and he just kind of destroys your team.
So
like right off the top.
Shu and I have him in one of our two mains. And after that start in our live scoring, we had gone down 8.5 points, right?
Yeah.
Well, as it turns out, We gained 4.5 points on the day. Why? Because it was amazing. We got
Josh Fleming, right?
Josh Fleming versus Danny Duffy. I had both sides of that going for us.
Okay.
I give Shoe the credit for Duffy, by the way. I take credit for Fleming. That was my priority. But so when he gets bombed on on the weekend, I'll have to take the blame on that too. It's the way this works by rule. Yep. But you know, it was really kind of funny to see all the other stuff. So I had that going for us. Maybe I didn't gain 4.5. Maybe that's TGFBI that I gained 4.5. But I had they canceled it. Oh, and Justice Sheffield. So we got two wins on the day. I mean, it was
a huge day.
Smoke and mirrors on Sheffield. They're beating the Dodgers, but it worked out.
Yeah, I have Sheffield in one league. I did not have the guts to put him in the lineup.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Are you worried about Giolito after that start?
Nope. No, not at all. I think it's just a clunker that just, you know, I saw some stuff about him not being a morning person at all and all this stuff. And I do think the Red Sox lineup's legit. I think a lot of us thought that going into the season that this was like a really good lineup. They're pretty deep and long, as I like to say. It's not super long because Bobby Dalbec's not hitting and Marwin Gonzalez is just okay, but it's got some really good talent at the top. I think it's a tough lineup. So, I think it's a clunker. And kind of what I was going to say about that one is, you know, like you're really frustrated, obviously, with Giolito, but at least you know you're going to use Giolito for 32, 33 starts. And in the end, his ratios will be pretty good. You know, they'll be anywhere from like really, really, like it's hard after yesterday to say they're going to be amazing this year, but because it's going to take a long time to work that one off. But they're going to be anywhere from like good to very, very good. The stuff with someone like Joe Ross is just so hard because you were kind of just planning to use him for a couple starts and maybe not even keep him any longer than that. And then so once you take the clunker, like the whole thing's just a big waste. And that I think that's the big difference is there's time for Giolito. Giolito could go and throw 7 shutout in his next start.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a good week at that point, but he could work this off. Joe Ross isn't going to work this off in your lineup.
He can't work it out. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's too
bad. Yeah. Are you worried about Giolito?
A little bit. I mean, he had nothing. I also hated how Tony La Russa brought him out for the second inning. That's a good way to get hurt. When you have nothing and you're pitching, you threw 46 pitches in the first inning. That, you know, 30 is considered like pretty high. 35, you're starting to like, okay, we take him out. The Padres took Blake Snell out, I think, after 37 or 38 in the first inning against the Pirates last week, and he was able to bounce back. Those are stressful pitches. Then he comes out the next inning, has nothing again, and just boosts those ratios even worse. I mean, it's just why? And then he brings in position players in the seventh inning after they've cut it to a 6-run deficit. I mean, that's a lot still, but I don't know. I mean, Tim Anderson's out there trying hard, stealing bases, and then your response is, "Oh, let's it'll be fun to have your mean Mercedes throw an inning." And he threw like 38 pitches, by the way, too. It's nearly as stressful, but still, it's like, what are you doing?
You're right. I couldn't. You stumbled onto something that really bugged me, but I can't figure out what the thought process was bringing in Mercedes, who's become an important player for that team. Right. Like, it's not like they put in like when they brought in Mendrick the next inning. Okay, that one makes a little more sense. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not as meaningful to them. Like, if Mercedes pulls an oblique or something, doing pitching, which he's not accustomed to. It didn't make any sense to me who they brought in, how early they brought him in. Even the score, it wasn't like you said, it wasn't like it was 13-1 when they brought him in. And you're right, Tim Anderson stealing a base not long before Mercedes comes in. Why not just red light Tim Anderson? If that's going to be your approach, if you know you're going to Mercedes, just red light Tim Anderson and say, we'll go station to station around the diamond here this inning. And if we don't get four or five runs, then Mercedes is coming into pitch. And it's the same as Giolito coming for the second inning. For some reason, La Russa had just decided that game, like that he was not going to really use his bullpen that much at all.
They had a doubleheader the day before, but they didn't. It wasn't a stressful doubleheader. They 3-2 and 5-1 in their favor. So they allowed 3 runs in 14 innings. I don't think they worked the bullpen all that hard. I don't know. It's just,
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. The doubleheaders aren't as stressful, yeah, on the bullpens as they used to be. Like in the end, he used two relievers. Like with Giolito, his ace didn't have it at all. Yeah. And he was only willing to use two, and he knows he's only going to need eight innings. Yeah. Like pretty much by the end of the first inning, you know you're going to only have to cover eight innings since you're in Boston. So
you know what? I just thought of another mitigating factor that Lance Lynn went on the IL on Sunday.
He did. Yeah.
So that's one less starter. He didn't pitch over the weekend. So I guess they're down another reliever. Maybe that's the mentality, but even still,
I don't know. Like, and even Lynn, yeah, Lynn going on the IL almost gives you like that fake extra reliever for a while because you don't need, if you want to call up a starter for Lynn's next start,
yeah,
you know, you have an extra reliever until such day, and then you can send one of them down. Like they could have burned a guy and then sent him down and had the starter up for Lance Lynn's start. I don't know. It was weird. Like I say, it was weird right from the get go. He, like I said, Giolito clearly didn't have it, and they used two relievers in the entire game. Like I thought that would have been a game where he used five or something like that. It was a really odd game. I'm going to go with not worried about Giolito. If someone had Giolito in my league and wanted to trade him and like obviously sell short on him at all, I would be totally interested. How about this? Would you trade Giolito right now for Glasnow or Corbin Burns? Either one of them.
It's funny. We were talking about that. I think I would. You were asking me about this on Twitter, or you're DMing me about that. I was thinking about it, and I mentioned it with Liz. It's really close because I hate to fall into recency bias on this one, and yet, Burns isn't walking anybody this year. That's the thing, that he's taken that next step up. So, this is his first tonight. He's facing the Padres, right? So this is his first start against a non-Central Division team. If you're counting the AL Central and NL Central, it's been Twins, Cardinals, Cubs. And my thesis was he benefited greatly from the schedule, and he walked too many guys. I was questioning how deep he'd go into games. He's gone 6-6 and 6 1/3 so far. He hasn't walked a batter yet. I'm changing my name to Leif Erickson so I can take the L. But I don't know. I think I would take Burns ahead of Giolito now, because Giolito has some whip issues too. And then Glasnow, I'm a little more circumspect, but I think I might be wrong about that one too.
Yeah, I'm still with Giolito. I think the innings matter too. The Brewers are the team that did say going into spring training that they were going to bump their starters about 100 innings this year. So we were all kind of putting Burns around 160, 165. I think Giolito, so that's one of my concerns with Burns, is just, I don't know. Part of the common sense side of me says that the Brewers will just push Burns past that if they have a chance to win the division. And like, how do you skip Burns starts in August or September? Like, even if you don't shut him down, like, how do you skip his starts?
Well, maybe it's in June.
That's right. You know, do you think they'll actually do that if he's pitching really well?
No, but the scenario I fear.
They put a number on it.
Yeah, numbers change.
I know.
I think maybe like, oh, well, we found a blister. He's going to sit out, you know.
Yep.
That could be it. Or the other problem is they get to September and they're not competitive. Now, right now, they're 9-7. They're a half game behind the Reds, so they're totally competitive. And yeah, and they're outscoring their opponents by a run a game. You know, 4.31 to 3.3. Their offense isn't doing jack, but they're doing a great job of run suppression. I can see it. By the way,
that feels like a division where a lot of teams are just going to kind of plod along around 500.
That's right. That's the way it's shaping up to be. The Pirates haven't gotten special bad yet. The Cubs, no. Fred, the Cubs look terrible.
They do. And what's interesting is you could see that in their range of possibilities, because, you know, Rizzo wasn't good last year and Bryan wasn't good last year and Baez wasn't good last year. And Baez has been good this year from a fantasy perspective, but he stinks. Like, he strikes out, he leads the majors in strikeouts and he has one walk. Like, he isn't good. Jason Hayward is no good. Like, that team is not, they have no second baseman. you know, Nico Horner should be up soon. They could use him, and their pitching hasn't been as good as maybe they had hoped off the top. Not shocking when you trade away Yu Darvish. Kyle Davies hasn't been good. We never thought Kyle Davies was a stud. The Cubs had it in their range of outcomes to be really bad, and so far they are.
Yeah. They really are.
It's interesting. Like the Cubs made a lot of bad moves. Like for a team that won the World Series, they made a lot of bad moves where like bad trades or bad signings, like the Hayward signing was bad and getting Addison Russell was bad. Like they made some moves that weren't good that caused them to not be the dynasty that a lot of people thought they could be. But then on top of that, I don't know if you can blame them for this, but like Rizzo and Bryant, like these guys haven't been like the superstars that people like consistent superstars that people thought they were going to be.
They haven't been. No. And Baez collapsed too.
That's right. And I don't know if you can blame really the Cubs organization for that. Like we thought Chris Bryant at this point in his career was going to be like a first or second round fantasy pick like every year.
I think also though too, I mean, they haven't done any internal development of pitchers.
Nope.
I mean, look at their rotation. You know, Hendricks, they got in a trade from Texas. I mean, there you can give them some credit for developing him a little bit. Arrieta's in the rotation now. Trevor Williams just came from the Pirates. Who am I forgetting?
Alzolay is in their rotation. He's like
in and out. He's not in.
Yeah, a little bit promising, but really there's not much there yet.
Did they send him down though?
Yeah, but I think that was a schedule quirk, and he's like with them. Yeah, like just, the Astros did.
And they just traded for Zach Davies in the Darvish trade.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I know. I don't even think I don't think Arrieta will even be in their rotation by the summer. Like I don't think he can stay healthy anymore. So I don't know.
They don't even have like a prospect knocking at the door for it. It's Alzolay's kind of it.
Yep. They don't. It's a three. I think the Central's already down. Everyone's going to jump all over me and say like you're making conclusions and there's still 140 something games for the Cubs or anything. I don't see it. I think the Central's already down to a three team race. Like I'm not, and the Pirates were out before the season started. I think it's down to your Reds and the Brewers who can pitch but can't hit, but maybe can pitch so well with guys like Woodruff and Burns and Hader in that closer's role that maybe they can just pick up some hitting.
Yeah.
At the, you know, in the summer, I could see that. And then the Cardinals, who can do a bit of both.
Yeah. I will throw one name out there as a potential riser for the Cubs as a pitcher, and that's Braylon Marquez. He's at Double-A to start. You know, he's been assigned to Double-A.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a while for him because he hasn't he hit the major through two-thirds of an inning. I think it was the last day of the year and gave up five earned runs to the White Sox, if I recall correctly. But that was it. You know, other than that, he hasn't pitched above A ball. And so this is a year for him, a big year for him. But he's, top 200 prospect, according to James Anderson, in the top four for the Cubs. So we'll see. He may be the only guy that's ready anytime soon. But you know what? Guys emerge. We'll see. They might
have the Cubs already.
At some point.
True. Oh yeah, Alec Mills. Can't wait. Have the Cubs already reached the point where you stream towards them with your pitchers? Yeah. Like you're looking who's got, like when I go and look in the, when I go look at the RotoWire, you know, next 7 days pitching grid, shameless plug, which I look at almost daily. Like I'm looking at who's facing the Pirates and things like that. Have we hit the point already where you're looking at who's facing the Cubs? Yeah, you have.
Yes. I think there are more teams than ever that you can stream against, and the Cubs are one of them. I mean, Freddie Peralta had two gems against them, and he, you know, I used him. I don't know. You can't stream Freddie Peralta, but you can definitely use him in DFS, and he was priced pretty affordably. And then, you know, subsequent start, he got priced up again finally after feasting on the Cubs.
That's right. And there could be plenty of, there's some, like we've named some Cubs that strike out a lot. Like there could be a lot of strikeouts beyond the fact that you could get a win and hold them in check. Like there could be a lot of strikeouts there. I think Freddie Peralta, by the way, is an interesting guy. I kind of wrote him up today as someone maybe I would look to trade if I was in a trading league. I have him in our friends and family, and that's the only spot. And he's doing great. He still is walking a lot of batters. He's made three starts. Two are against the Cubs. One was against the Pirates. I'm not totally sold yet.
Fair enough.
Yeah. If somebody came along with a guy who I felt, but I know his upside is really high because of the strikeouts, but I kind of feel like if someone came along with a starter who I felt was like really solid, like I would go ahead and give up the upside of Peralta to get that, like someone who I felt like was a lot more reliable than him. Cause, but there is a chance that Peralta stays in among the league leaders in strikeouts and that has value. But I just, when he faces some harder opponents, if he keeps walking three batters a start, I don't know if he can survive that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before we talk more streamers, quick note from our friends at Underdog. Football season approaches and you've got to check out these new best ball leagues on Underdog. Best ball is the ultimate test of your live draft skills since there's no in-season management. That's right. Draft your team and Underdog automatically credits you with your best performing players every week. You don't need to play the waiver wire or worry about trades. It's just the draft. Who doesn't love drafting? An Underdog best ball, you can draft as many times as you want because you don't have to do any roster management, saving you loads of time. Underdog's best ball leagues are drafting right now, starting at just $3. Once the season starts, Underdog also has daily fantasy and an all-new pick'em game. Go download the Underdog app now to get in on some best ball before the season starts. Enter promo code ROTOWIRE with your first deposit, and Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee during your first month. Love Underdog or get your money back with promo code ROTOWIRE. Search Underdog in your app store or enter promo code ROTOWIRE. All right. So, Fred, before the podcast, you mentioned you are nervous about a Detroit-Pittsburgh game.
Yes.
Yeah, Detroit-Pittsburgh yes. game. Why are you so up in arms about a Detroit-Pittsburgh game?
Well, I picked up a fair amount of Michael Fulmer on Sunday night. And as we were saying with Joe Ross, one of the worst feelings is picking up a I'm hoping Michael Fulmer will be more than a streamer, but at the very least, he's a two-start streamer this week. And if he gets lit up by Pittsburgh, I'm going to feel pretty silly. So I'm also using Tyler Anderson in Tout NL. I decided at the last minute because the Tigers have been awful against lefties this year.
So if it works on Josh Fleming versus Danny Duffy, it can work on Tyler Anderson versus Michael Fulmer. That's it, right?
Could. And I think it's in Detroit, I believe. I'm not that far from Detroit. The weather's cold. The ball probably isn't flying. I'm hoping for a 3-1 game tonight and I'll take Fulmer to get the win. But I think Fulmer has plenty of potential. This is kind of on my Alex Cobb theory that we talked about last week, where I added Cobb in a lot of leagues who used to be quite good in fantasy. That was really bad. But maybe if he's healthy, we can get back some of that goodness. And Fulmer, kind of the same thing. Like there was a time, right, 2016 and 2017, where Fulmer was pretty valuable to have.
Right.
Then he just hasn't really been healthy since then. So we'll see if he's healthy now. I'm not totally sold, but a 12-1 strikeout to walk led me to make him. He was my preferred guy in my bid group. I think my bid group went him, Jake Junis, where he was still available. And then we got into the two starts, and I think my first two start, well, other than Fulmer, who I think might have some keeper potential, but I think my first two start was Josh Fleming.
Yeah. So I went Fulmer, Josh Fleming, and I got him everywhere except labor because you bid two and I bid one.
Yeah.
So I couldn't erase my Giolito in that league, unfortunately. But and I'm realizing I left Marco Gonzalez active in that league, and that could be a huge mistake because he's pitching against the Dodgers in about 15 minutes. So we'll see about that. I ended up in that league with Jeff Hoffman instead.
Okay,
I had him all those guys over Meet Joe Ross. And that's so I got a little lucky there, but I had Ross on my list in every single one of those leagues. But and according to RT, he was the most acquired player in week four. So kind of fun stuff.
Wow.
Went Ross, Fulmer, Eduardo Escobar, Jazz Chisholm. Obviously, he was gone in our league. But
yeah,
it's kind of funny how it just shows like different league sizes. We're a 15 teamer, so you know, digs a little deeper. You had to kind of jump sooner on some of those guys. But it's a reminder that. The game we play isn't always the same as the game that people are getting our advice from are playing.
That's right. And I try to remember that and throw in sometimes like some discussions on some of these guys, like you mentioned, like Jazz Chisholm, who's gone in all our leagues. I think you mentioned Eduardo Escobar, who's gone in all our leagues, but is really relevant in leagues of in 10 team leagues. And like, he was probably picked up in some 12s where he was left undrafted. So, and leagues with different bench sizes and everything. So, but it's fascinating that Joe Ross was the most added. I did have him, I think for my two starts after Fulmer and Fleming, I went Duffy and then I went Ross. So I could have had Ross in a spot or two, but I ended up not. I think I might have had Bruce Zimmerman ahead of Ross, who I think is a two starter this week too, who I don't feel really that much better about. But I didn't think, I'm not going to say that I saw this Ross thing coming. I just didn't really believe in him. I thought Fleming has a bit of like keeper potential to last beyond this week. Like, he's been good in his career. He doesn't strike a lot of batters out, but you know, and the Rays obviously do well with pitching. You actually got in my head a little bit last week when you mentioned how bad the Rays bullpen is, and you're right. You know, both in terms of like the eyeball test and the production, he's a 5-inning starter, so that could be something that hurts his win potential. But still, with the pitcher injuries around baseball right now, if he can go 5 innings and just give up 1 or 2 runs, then I'm interested.
Yeah, I can get that, and I always kind of. Well, I think I've thought this. I don't think I've actually put this out there. So I think Josh Fleming is a developing Dallas Keuchel with better defense behind him. What do you think about
that? Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Not many strikeouts, good command, left-handed, doesn't throw especially hard. You know, they had very similar outings. Keuchel in the doubleheader against the Red Sox when he got the win, 5 innings, 1K. Fleming, 5 innings, 3Ks, like 5.1 innings. By the way, that game was beautiful. I had both sides of that going in the NFBC, and that pretty much mitigated all the damage that Giolito did, minus, you know, make up the strikeouts. But Danny Duffy, he's also in that top 10 on RT of pickups for this week. You know, what do you think about Danny Duffy? Some thought that maybe he's getting some velocity back. He was really good at one point.
Yeah, and I think this is the time of year to speculate on these guys going into 2-start weeks who are off to a decent start to the season. And like, I wasn't bidding $100 on any of these guys. Like, I think, like you said, I spent 2 out of 100 in labor on Fleming. I think in the other leagues, I spent 15 to 25. So about 2%. That's what I kind of had in on Duffy too. But I think this is the time of year to take a shot at guys like Duffy and Fleming, like guys who have done something right this year and are heading into a 2-start week. And maybe you get a good 2-start week, but they don't really last on your team. But maybe, you know, but maybe they do. I don't think we're going to see as many of these guys by the summer. The way pitchers are dropping like flies right now, I think we could see some real ugliness by the summer where you start looking at the 2-start pitchers and you're like, well, they're all rostered except for, you know, these couple guys who just don't belong in the majors.
Yeah, we've already had some attrition already too.
Yeah.
So right now we're looking at 6 and 7 starters. When we look at 8th, 9th, and 10th starters, that's when it gets ugly.
You're going to see guys getting called up from AAA this summer to fill in rotations who don't have good minor league numbers, who don't belong in the majors yet, and their teams just need to cover the starts, and they're up for a few weeks, and you know they put an ERA up around 5, and then they get sent back down, and teams are just looking to cover innings. I think we could see that, and you won't be able to use those pitchers, so you're going to have to turn at that point to middle relievers because you got to put 9 out there. And so I think this is a good time of year to take chances at guys like Josh Fleming and Danny Duffy. Like you said, at least they're in someone's top 5, or in Fleming's case, he's kind of their 6. You know, I grabbed Dane Dunning last week in that same labor league. And we talked about him briefly last week, just that he had a promising first start to the season and was up for 2 starts. So I thought, let's give him a shot. At least he's good enough to be in a team's top 5. So I think this is the time to keep, without spending a ton, but this is the time to keep plugging away at that and hope that you find some of these guys hopefully are still on your roster in June or July.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see how that develops over the course of the season. We'll see how our guys go, our streamers go. Crossing some fingers there really hard. Blue Jays, Fred, were you in on the Rafael Dolis bidding? How aggressive were you if you were? They're having compound injuries, both there and the outfield. It's really wild to see. I saw them get shut out on Sunday. What's going on with them?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. I was joking with you on Twitter that maybe we'll spend $1,000 in some leagues on Fab on the Blue Jays bullpen this season, because you would have some leagues already that have spent over $600 between Romano in a 12 team, like Romano not drafted, picked him up, thought he was a closer. Someone else picked up Merriweather next week, thought he was the closer. There could be $600-$700. And now Dolis might have, used up another 100 in some leagues. So you could be in the 700 or 800 range, and we'll, and it's only the middle of April. We'll see where it goes from here. So yeah, their bullpen has just been decimated. Like if you go all the way back to spring training, the pecking order was Yates, Romano, then maybe Merriweather, Chatwood, everyone I just named has already been hurt. Yeah. So, but I was not in on the Dolis. Like I put a bid in on him, but I put him, for example, I put him behind Josh Fleming, I think, and Danny Duffy. So at that point, like I'm not going to win him. So yeah. I just put a, keep you honest, 15 or 20 and put him in there. I think Dolis will pick up a couple saves, but news that Romano is going to be back sooner rather than later. And I don't think it's an automatic that Romano gets the ninth inning as soon as he comes back. But I think he gets in that picture right away, and then eventually Merriweather will be back. So I think Dolis walks too many batters. He works slow. I just don't think he's going to be their long-term closer. So if I needed saves, I go like 40, 50 bucks, fine. But I wasn't going like 100. Did you pick him up anywhere?
No, I picked him up last week, first come first serve pickup league. But we have weekly active roster moves, active reserve moves, but I picked him up there. That's the only place, a Yahoo league. But aside from that, no, I didn't get him in any fab bidding. I just, cause it's maybe just for a week. Romano might be back next week or by the weekend. Is Romano the guy long-term? Is it Merriweather? Who's your long-term guy in the Jays?
Yeah, I honestly don't even think they know. I think that they were starting to maybe settle into a Romano before Merriweather kind of thing. But I think sometimes Merriweather's been really brittle so far in his career. So I think they'll even kind of baby him. And now he's already hurt. Like, I think I don't know if he's pitching 2 days in a row very often the rest of the season. So I'll take the under on any Blue Jays reliever getting 20 saves this year, which is just given the amount of fab or draft picks. Cause in a lot of the mains, Romano was going in like round 9 or 10, and then Merriweather went for all the fab. So I think, we're seeing some people, some of them are working out, like maybe someone who picked Jake McGee in round 11 or something like that. But we're seeing, and now I'll throw into the mix to pivot just a little bit, is the Mariners. And Kendall Graveman went for 300 in a lot of leagues on Sunday night. And now yesterday, Rafael Montero gets the save.
So were you watching this game?
I was not.
Okay, so it was a tight situation in the seventh inning. They used him as the fireman, as anybody sabermetrically inclined has been begging for years.
Yeah.
I think it was the right decision. I think this begets future save opportunities. I think he's the guy that service trusts the most. I think sometimes it's going to be like this where Montero may get the ninth after, gets to start fresh like that. But Graveman's going to get his chances. I don't think this is wasted money in Fab. I think
you don't. Well, we'll see, because that's my feeling with Romano too, is that the Jays may use him in high leverage situations, regardless of the inning, at least like seventh, eighth, ninth or eighth, ninth. So it just in fantasy, we need for that investment, we need to save so badly that if the Mariners are going to kind of jump back and forth between the two, depending on the situation. So for example, in a couple of days, if the Mariners are winning by a run and the other team's best hitters are coming up to start the eighth inning, who's going out?
That's a good question.
If it's Graveman, well, like it's great if you get a scoreless inning, but it's the Montero guy who's getting the save.
Right. I had Montero on my bench, and I don't have any Graveman. I do have Montero in XFL, and I benched him this week. Yeah. I don't know if I made the right call or not. But we'll see.
I know. That one's a dicey one. Like we've seen some, I was just going to say, like in the NFBC, we've seen with the first weekend with Merriweather going for, 300 plus in a lot of leagues, and this past weekend with Graveman going for 300 plus in a lot of leagues. And now here we are, like April 20th, and I'm still not sure either one of them are really full-time closers. Like for example, if the White Sox are in a jam with two outs in the seventh, Liam Hendricks is not coming in. Nope. Like that's not how they roll with him. And I could say that about, I don't think Ian Kennedy's even coming in for the Rangers. Like they're saving, he's their ninth inning guy.
Yeah. Definitely the case. Now I think that rubs both ways though. Sometimes you never get that save chance. And meanwhile, then Liam Hendricks has to wait like 5 days to pitch, and then he gets used in a get work situation, and nothing good.
I just feel like I would rather get the guys who are who I think are going to be just used in a classical closer way and guide me to those 30 saves. That's my concern with Graveman. It's just like he could still be quite valuable. But if he ends up with 15 saves, 17 saves, something like that, but it pitches well. I mean, it's not wasted money. I'm just not sure if he's going to be the answers to people's prayers. Although I don't know that the answer's coming, you know, in next week's Fab or the week after's Fab. We'll see. But I, like when I look around, we'll see. Maybe there'll be a situation like that. But I really wanted to get some. I really wanted to try to find the people who are going to be used like kind of more solely in the ninth inning. So seeing him used earlier, which I like you said, it was the right baseball move. But if you picked him up for the $300, you really wanted them to wait and use him in the ninth so you can get the save.
But if you picked him up for $300, you haven't been paying attention to how Scott Service manages his bullpen.
Right.
You know. That's just the way it's been. I mean, you saw this all last year. And the comments that Service made, we didn't take him at face value. Remember when Montero pitched the sixth and Graveman got the save in the seventh and Service said, like, this is the batters I wanted them to face.
Yeah. Well,
he was telling us.
Yep.
And you can't expect him to treat him as a official closer after that.
Nope. Now, do you think that's similar to Gabe Kapler, who seems to have kind of come around to Jake McGee being an official closer? Like, I'm no
Kapler Jake McGee. Said he wanted me, he could see McGee being a closer when they signed him.
Right.
And he has treated him as a closer this year.
Totally. Yeah.
Period.
Yep.
His one hiccup was when he was pitching out dealing with the after effects of the vaccine. So, I'm fully confident in McGee. And
yes.
You know, if he gets hurt.
So that's what I was wondering with Service is if someone emerges out of that, like out of Graveman and Montero, like if someone just keeps putting up zeros, will he eventually just be treated like how the Angels will treat Raisel Iglesias, like how the White Sox treat Liam Hendricks? I guess we'll just wait and see.
Maybe
I'm too cheap on fab bids on relievers. Maybe that's what this is coming to.
Or maybe you're ahead of your time. You're a visionary.
I don't know.
And you're going to get somebody cheap finally, eventually, and it's going to work out.
Yeah, well, it hasn't worked out so far. I've been kind of fishing around, although I was looking for more Stephen Crichton in some of my leagues on the weekend. I have him in the NL, the Tout NL, but I was looking for him in some mix, and he was not available because he got their last save, and I've been thinking all along that he's still the guy who makes the most sense to be the Diamondbacks closer.
Yeah, that's right, and I cut him in a bunch of leagues. I don't think he's very good. Though, I mean, you look at it, he's like at a 1.8 whip. He did close a little bit last year. And again, citing April stats is kind of dumb, so I might have to just eat some crow on that. But I also am annoyed because I dropped him in the main and I think another league too, and he got swooped up. Vlad Sedler swooped in and grabbed him from me too, so that makes it even worse. So, like, he's been paying pretty close attention. He went for like $140 in mine, so we'll see. I also saw the comments by Torrey Lovullo, though, that he was inspired by Kevin Cash watching him in the playoffs. He's like, I want to become a better manager, and I liked what he was doing. So it might be just this big, massive confusion all year.
Yep. It might be. And on a team that, you know, projects probably to have a losing record. So it's not even like a team that's going to be winning four or five games a week. So, but I kind of like Crichton. I just thought all along, like, he got five saves last year. His ERA last year was 2.42. His FIP was 3.45. So that's solid. And he got five saves in that shortened season. And I was like, why don't they want to use him? I understood the lure of Soria, but as soon as he was going south and then we got hurt, I was like, why don't they just pivot straight to Crichton? But they didn't. But at least they did Sunday. So we'll see when their next save chance comes up, like how it's handled.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
Parting note, Byron Buxton back in the lineup. The Twins announced their lineup for the first half of the doubleheader, batting cleanup. So if you kind of took the chance on him, or if you're waiting for a lineup on that, get him in. Of course, by the time you're listening, they might've already started. So we'll see. But I do have one Buxton. I have him in my AL home league, so I do have one.
Okay.
Do you have any Buxton?
No, none. He doesn't really fit the kind of profile that I usually go for. I just have a trouble figuring out what Buxton is. He was a speedster, and then he was kind of a power hitter, but he's always a guy who gets hurt a lot. So I just and he's already been, and he's already done all those things. He already hit well, and he already got hurt. So we'll just see kind of where things go with him. But no, I didn't. I don't have him anywhere. So we'll see how he turns out. There's a group of guys like Buxton and Stanton and Judge and Strasburg. Now, some of these guys haven't even got off to good starts this year, but there's a lot of guys who I didn't draft because of injury concerns who I had to understand might look like really good picks in April. But I'm playing the long game, and I don't see them as durable players. So we'll just see what a Buxton season. Maybe Buxton could be the one who totally blows up in my face. He hits 33 home runs and steals 17 bases or something this year, and he's one of the best picks. But that was my when you avoid those like boomer bust injury prone guys, you have to understand that they could really tear it up in April before the injury that you're thinking is going to happen eventually happens.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, but he's back in the lineup. So good for those who went for him.
Yeah. Last note, I lied. What Buxton wasn't the last. Patrick Corbin goes tonight against the Cardinals. Was miserable in his last start against the Diamondbacks. A pretty weak lineup. Do you have him anywhere? B, do you see much hope for him recovering?
So I do not have him. And it's because I didn't see much hope. I think. Yeah. I got blasted. Maybe almost as bad as I've ever been blasted by a fan base on Twitter.
Really?
Late last week. And I just threw out the opinion that the Nats stink. They were kind of one of my best picks this year. And I just threw out the opinion that the Nats might stink and that Max Scherzer may be the headliner of the trade deadline this year. I thought it made a lot of sense. He's in the last year of his contract. I think he'll be 37 around the trade deadline. I'm sure he would like to pitch in the postseason as much as possible for the rest of his career. Even if the Nats sent him out, doesn't mean they can't bring him back. Although I don't know if they'll want to, but, anyways, Nats fans for the next 24 hours just filled my notifications with clown emojis and things like that, saying that it's only 10 games into the season, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and I've given up on them too early. And I'm like, it has nothing to do with the 10 games. I would have said the same thing before the season started. I don't like that roster beyond the superstars.
And the funny thing is, I kind of did. Although at the same time, I was fading Strasburg. So
if you're fading Strasburg and you're fading Corbin, that's right. So if you don't believe in Strasburg, you don't believe in Corbin, and you don't believe in Joe Ross, then like you just.
What do you believe in?
Yes, exactly. That was kind of my thinking. And I don't believe in their bullpen. Like, I think Hand could be okay. I think Rainey could be okay. I don't really like their bullpen. So I just don't think there's enough pitching there. I don't think their lineup's special. I think Soto's special. I think Turner's special. I think the rest of it's like just okay.
And I like them going getting Bell and Schwarber. I thought those were good additions.
I don't believe in their pitching. The first person I did respond to, like the first person, and I just said I don't think they have enough pitching to stay in the race. And I think the NL East is a really good division. And I think they'll be far out of it in late July, and it would maybe make sense. They don't have a deep farm system. They had to give away some prospects to go for these World Series, and good for them for winning one. So, but yeah, I can't tell you how many times I had Nats fans say, "Don't you remember 19-31, the 19-31 record in 2019?" And they came back, "It's too early." Don't you? I was like, the reason you keep referencing 19-31 is because that's incredibly unusual.
Yep.
Right? Like you're referencing something as so memorable because it's so unusual. It's not the standard. Anyways, I don't believe in Corbin. I don't believe in Strasburg. And I think that Max Scherzer could end up on a different team down the stretch. He would, if he's healthy and pitching well, he would be a huge addition to a team.
Do you believe that the children are our future? Teach them well and let them lead the way. You are a teacher.
I do. After all. I do.
We'll close with that. Fred, good stuff. We'll talk to you again next week. Everybody, thanks for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Clay and James will be at you tomorrow, Thursday. My guest will be RotoWire's Ryan Roof, manager of the Closer Grid, three-time champion of the Staff Keeper League, won his way into the NFBC main event with the Fanball DFS contest. So lots to talk about with him. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.